Hey guys, get ready to get your socks knocked right back onto your feet.
I don't think that's a saying. And if that's your attempt at an intro,
come on, that's
we
good.
Just lost half the audience. Will, your turn. Get ready to get your socks knocked back onto your feet. Because that'd be a hell of a podcast.
What were you thinking about?
Come on.
Were you trying to do an intro?
Yeah, that was good. Because I reversed it.
Get ready to get your
socks. Hey, get ready to get your hair blown back onto your hips. Like, what?
This is going to unblow your mind.
This is going to tighten your socks and laces up on your shoes.
God damn it. Just say welcome to SmartLess.
Welcome to SmartLess.
Hey, welcome everybody.
Hey guys. Hey, how excited are you?
I will. Well, look, have you ever had apple juice and ice like this? It tastes really delicious.
Oh, is that what you wash down your egg salad with?
Yeah, a little bit. I had a little bit of eggs today and a bagel with cream cheese.
Wait.
If we turned you inside out, will we just see a big American flag?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bless your heart.
Wait, Sean, so what did you start with today? You started with a bagel?
I do half of the plain bagel. I do a full bagel. Half is cream cheese, half is butter.
Okay.
But it's plain. Oh, it's plain, you. Right? Yeah, no doubt. It's a plain bagel?
It's a plain bagel.
Do you ever save the time? Because you got to slice it and put it. Do you ever just like take a bite of the bagel and then just a big sliver of cream cheese
and put it
eat
both
that in. And then some butter just straight down the hatch?
It'd be faster, that's for sure.
Right? More because efficient. You're wasting a lot of time, it seems like.
But you're a plain bagel eater. I don't know any of you.
Why put it? You're going to put stuff on it. Have it in there?
That's like just eating straight white bread. People go
that's
for
all I
some
do.
Kind of a flavor.
The flavor in the sandwich.
But have you not tried an onion bagel, sesame bagel, bagel, everything bagel? Have you ever tried it?
No, I can smell it. So then therefore I've tried
You've never tried it?
No, I've only eaten plain bagels.
I mean, it's undeniably better than just a flat tasting piece of round white bread.
Okay, look, I'll try it. I'm open to it. I'll try next time.
You're 52 years old.
At least.
I know.
Another thing I'd like to get you in on is this torture that Will has dropped me into this torture chamber Sam Jones, our friend who directed the behind the scenes tour thing of SmartLess,
the special that's coming out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also one of our guests, Matt Damon, is also involved
Mr.
in this
Matthew
torture
Damon.
Chamber. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of a SmartLess torture chamber.
Oh, you're
and
talking
the
about
only
Portal?
Person missing is you and also Scott.
I'll do it.
We're doing this, we do the Wordle, Quirtle, and Octwirtle every morning.
Yeah, and it's...
And then we have to do an aggregate score, and it's torturous.
Well, I have an issue with the Octwirtle people. And listener, this is the eight puzzles.
So stupid.
But they think of these, like, we get it, you're bright, you come up with these words that no one's ever heard of, but that's a hat on a hat. It's already difficult to figure out the eight words. We don't need to also figure out words in a... basically a different language.
Can I just say something, man?
It's
can
hard
I just
to say, figure out the five-letter word.
Well, can I just say something, Jason? Good for you, man.
You know,
good for
I'm
you
just,
for
I've
finally
had it.
Standing up.
I need
no,
to finally
I know.
Speak
and
out. I've been afraid to speak out because I don't I don't want blowback.
Man.
Hey, have you guys ever played Mafia? Remember I talked about Mafia like a year ago?
It's not a word game.
Sean, are you just doing loose association of ideas
No,
now?
I'm dead.
Us finishing talking is not your cue to come up with a different subject.
No, I was telling you what I was doing last night.
Speaking of,
we played Mafia because you guys are talking about games.
Our guest today, guys, you see that?
Well, we're just going to get right into it.
Yeah, we're going to
pop tired
into
of talking?
This. Yeah, wow. Yeah. No. But it just this person.
You barely even said like hello, or
because this man is a director.
What? Oh.
And there are very few. Jason, I love bringing directors in for you because I just see you get all giddy and
just got nervous.
I know. How he sets up shots and how he lights certain angles.
And he's not just a director. He's the director of some of the biggest comedies and the biggest films of all time, incredible blockbusters, and also has produced some of the biggest, if not arguably the biggest now, television show. Question mark. Certainly in Netflix history. Question mark. This is somebody who's Canadian. This is somebody, Sean, that Jason, you've worked with.
Talk about nice hair. Here he goes.
Talk about great hair. I can't wait to see the outfit.
There's a little giggle.
Sean, how about this guy? How about this guy?
Hi, guys.
Looks like you're in a sort of an economical hotel.
It's just a Hungarian hotel.
Are you in a hotel?
I'm in a hotel room where I have lived for 4.5 months in Budapest, which is the longest I've ever been on location and the furthest that I've ever been on location and probably the last time that I will go this far away for this long. But did you bring friends?
Hi,
wait,
Sean.
Why are you there?
Oh, you're lucky, listeners. This is a good man.
Yeah, this is great.
Tuck in.
I can't wait to talk about Stranger Things. I can't wait to talk about all the movies. This is so exciting.
But Sean, I feel like there's no way we can let go today without, I feel like there we had a moment, apparently in a casting session of A Night at the Museum. Because yes, I've listened to every episode.
I've already gotten into
Bateman's anti-turtleneck manifesto, but I handle that off air.
But yeah, you're one of the three people that can pull it off.
Yeah, well, to remind the viewers, or the viewers, the listeners, that I auditioned for one of the Night at the Museum movies, and
which
you were
part?
So kind to call me in. And
which part?
It was for Napoleon, I think.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. And, wow, huh.
And then Walk got that part, didn't he?
Who did?
Joaquin. It's just an inside joke. Yeah. He just wrapped it.
That's right, he played Napoleon. He's playing Ridley Scott.
Yeah. Pushing
anyway, I went in with a way with it.
I went in with a bunch of ideas and like a dickwad, and you were like looking at me like, maybe you can direct it too.
Oh, really?
Sean, did you come with that line? I think I might have, according to Sean Hayes, Sean Levy, a young Sean Levy, said, did you want to direct it too?
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing, Sean. You don't know me that well. I don't do dry. Shawnee don't play dry. Yeah. So I think I was going, that's like an Arnett move. That's a Bateman fucking superpower.
Yeah.
But as you know, and as you can probably tell already, I don't do dry very well.
It did make me chuckle.
But I think I'm not sure the humor came across because I was off tone. And now I've learned to stay in my lane.
I like to be obvious
with my humor.
But while we're overseas, though, let's get back to Hungary. What are you doing in Hungary? And you've been there 4.5 months. I'll bet it's something fabulous. Let's hear it.
It is something fabulous. And so that is kind of what gets me through it. I am doing, there was a book, I don't know if any of you read it, called All the Light We Cannot See.
And this book just finished, came out.
For real?
No.
See, I don't do dry. That's a callback, used in comedy.
Sean Levy, just so you know, if you ever reference a book again, neither of them has read a book in
TV
years.
Guide was the last book I read.
By the way, I read three this week. Go ahead.
Okay. There was a book called All the Light We Cannot See. It won the Pulitzer Prize, and it was a bestseller like 7 years ago. And they were going to do it as a movie, and I couldn't even get a meeting on it. And then I kind of waited and waited because I'm all about the long-term goals. And I found out about 3 years ago that the rights were available, and I chased it. And I said to the novelist, "What if we do it as a limited series? Because that is such, you know, in
you
the 7 years,
yeah.
And you get all your book in there." It's exactly right. And so then I decided to direct all of the episodes myself. So I am here. It's intense.
Wow. How many episodes?
It's only 4 episodes, but it's like a 90-day shoot, which is even my biggest movies are 70-day shoots.
What's the elevator pitch? Like, what's it about?
It's World War II. There's a blind French girl and her father who are running from the Nazi invasion in France, and they're living in a coastal city in France. Her dad is Mark Ruffalo. Her uncle is Hugh Laurie. I decided I wanted to do this with an actress who was actually blind. We did a global search, and we found this young woman named Aria Liberti, who has never even auditioned for a part. And she is legally blind, and as you can imagine, it has been unlike any shoot that I've ever done.
Sean, not to get into the weeds, but so when you have a legally blind actor, what do you do about, like, if you have a real specific mark that an actor needs to hit because of technical issues with a dolly move or light or something like that? Like, how do you get around that?
Well, very often what we do is you put a little piece of rope.
Sandbags.
A sandbag is a tripping hazard. I've learned that the hard way. Mm. So you literally put a little piece of twine underneath tape. And the truth is, when you don't have sight, all your other senses you use so intensely, including touch, and use your feet as other things it can feel. So she finds her mark with her feet. She, when she asks where the camera is, she's asked us to, we literally will snap where the camera is, because she uses sound to echolocate and map the room.
That's fascinating.
Every day is fascinating, and we have this kind of 20-something playing the grown-up version of this character, Marie, and we have this 7-year-old who is also blind named Nell, who we found in a small town in Wales, and she is playing the younger version. And so you've got these experienced people like Ruffalo and Hugh Laurie, and, you know, it's this big, epic World War II kind of drama.
How old is the young woman playing the blind character?
She is in her mid-20s, and the younger is now 7.
So that's got to be wild for somebody in their mid-20s, not only just an actress with sight, but an actress without sight, learning the ropes of camera, blocking, lighting, like cues, and just all of that. It's fascinating.
Well, we've all had visitors come to a set at some point, and you see that people don't understand this strange workplace that is not like any kind of normal workplace. Yeah, and so she's got that, but she's never even acted. She never even was aspiring to act. She found out about this search from a teacher she had when she was 11. And she sent in an iPhone video out of hundreds, and she made it round after round after round after round, and then she got the part.
So, well, let me ask you this, because this makes sense. She obviously, she's never seen a film or a television program by virtue of her not having the power of sight. But has she—
Thanks for putting that together, Will.
Yeah, but, well, I was going to say, well, no, I mean—
Sometimes you got to connect the dots for me. No, now I'm with
obviously
you.
Obviously, it stands to reason, but I was going to say, is she aware of
the
stuff
heard
through
tons
pop culture?
Of them,
has she? No. Yes, what I was asking, has she heard a lot of that stuff? Is she in touch with stuff in that way?
Very much. Yeah, like she's seen every Marvel movie. She came into this. I did a movie 2 years ago called Free Guy that she'd seen a bunch of times. She knows Stranger Things. So she is very steeped in pop culture, but she's not watching it. She is using audio description, and she loves it, but it's just in a different way. So
that's how I watch Ozark with my eyes closed. Oh, same thing. Fuck. Yeah.
So an act, well, at least I'll speak for myself. I watch what I do and learn how to be better by noticing the things that I don't do well. If I didn't have my eyes, I wouldn't be able to see that. So how does one become a good actor if you've never seen not only what good actors do, but how you look when you feel an emotion, how knowing how that comes across, how you're able to—
That's the crux of it. That's it. That's literally, we go through this almost every day where she'll play a scene and she might play it great, but maybe she's doing stuff with her face that is too busy and she doesn't see herself or other actors.
And she's never seen a smile. She's never seen different versions of a smile.
And she's not seen herself in a mirror.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it is profound every day. And so what she's learned is, understand where the camera is. Like we've all learned, calibrate what you're doing based on the size of your face on that screen and the size of the lens. And she'll ask, I've taught her like mini film school bootcamp, like this is a medium shot. I'm at your waist. Then we're going to move the camera and suddenly it's more head to toe. So you can be a little freer. But what I've learned also, I mean, I've directed 13 movies now and Jason, I've directed you obviously, but like I use my face to direct so much. So like I might say cut, Jace, let's, and I'll make a face, right? And I'll indicate what I want in the next take.
I got that one a lot from you. That was, listener, that was a not so much face. I got that from Sean a lot. Like, hey, great, Jason, but maybe
it's
not kind so
of, it's suggesting 180 degrees, like the absolute opposite of what you're doing.
Whatever you're doing, can we just flip it?
Or we
As
have
I recall
that.
It, we have that. No, I prefer this
got
one,
that
Sean.
One.
I prefer, we got that version.
Right, that's
I
high
love
eyebrows.
That we have that.
High
Thank
eyebrows.
You. That's high eyebrows. Yeah. And I'll do this hand gesture, like when Kobe used to make eyebrows. A shot and run back to play D, and he'd do this settle down hand. Just the settle, yeah. And so some of that I would just go to, I'm like, hey, Jace. And I would just kind of like push my palms downward to stuff down.
This is a dramatic scene. Yeah. Easy on the comedy.
Now, Sean, is it because of like, you know, Canadians are known for just being the nicest people in the world, but you have this energy about you because we had a breakfast like decades ago and you were so charming and so funny and so witty and you have this infectious joy joyous energy. I'm sure I'm not the 100%. Only person to ever say that. That you must.
It's so good to be around.
Yeah, that just must create this atmosphere on set. It's just a statement. I have no question. I just find you incredibly joyful.
It's real too. It's you don't know how somebody really is until you either play around to golf with them or you work a long schedule on a movie.
Yeah, right.
Because you can't hide in those situations.
I guess my question to that is when you're filmmaking, what really gets under your skin? Because I can't see you throwing a fit or getting angry.
Well, it's funny because a mutual friend of a bunch of ours, I heard Ryan Reynolds do your show, and I've now done two movies in a row with Ryan, and his favorite
thing— I love
thing,
Free Guy, by the way.
Thank you. His favorite thing is when he's like, oh, Shawnee's going dark. Shawnee's going dark.
Uh-huh.
And the truth is, my version— well, you probably have, Jace, but it's like maybe the extent of it is like, guys, we got to go. We got. Right. Why are we not shooting? But I just get more absurd. My voice gets a little screechy,
right.
And I use my hands even more. So, but you know, I think. I mean, I know a little bit about your backstory, Sean, because I listened to Smartless.
Sure.
And I just like my mom. She liked the bottle, and it was not always an easy childhood. And I feel like I just willed myself towards happiness.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
yeah.
not going to have a sad life.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm going to have
a
happy life, and I want the things I make to put that in the world.
Was Dad around growing up, or?
He was around, and I would go over, for 2 days a week. And then when I was 13, I moved in with him and my stepmom and that family full-time, because I needed to kind of be safe.
Was this in Montreal, Sean?
Yeah, it was in Montreal.
So your parents were split from when you were very, very, very young?
Yeah, from the time I was three.
Oh, wow.
And it's weird because I never even talk about that stuff because A, who cares? And B,
I do.
Some sense of privacy. But now that I'm, you know, in the middle part of my life, I see like everyone's like, I'm doing a drama now.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of comedies. But what I've found is I just want to take feeling and put it on screen.
And plus, you're like an incredible dad too, with incredible daughters and incredible wife.
I've had a lot of practice. I have four daughters.
Yeah.
And we will be right back.
Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream. And I was going to say I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi ice cream is sweet, it's chewy, it's cool, it's creamy, all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh. I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it. First of all, an absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today. We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8-plus acres. I got to keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8-plus acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And You just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg Eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts. We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things with related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
And now back to the show.
So you have four. How old are your daughters?
They are 22 down to 11. So wow. 22, wow. 20, 15, 11. So it's, and a wife of 28 years.
Yeah.
And so it's.
It says it all.
Are they with you in Hungary? They're not with you in Hungary.
Actually, you know what? They've mostly not been, but they were here until a few hours ago. And literally my wife's parting words to me when I dropped off at the airport is she's like, don't push it on Smartless.
Yeah.
Don't. she knows that the more I love something, and this circles back to your question about like on set, I do tend to be pretty energetic because I love being there.
Yeah. Mm.
I love your show. I told your producers, like, I can't think of doing press with something I love. And I've listened to pretty much every episode and it feels so authentic and funny as shit. And
I'm so glad really you're thrilled on it. To be it's here. Such you fit right in.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. We're surprised always. I was telling my buddy Todd and down in St. Bart's, good friend of mine. Yeah. We're always surprised that people listen to the show. So thank you. I will say, I want to ask you a little bit about, so you're in Montreal, and how does a guy from Montreal go on to direct huge movies and become Sean Levy.
But for Tracy, let's just rattle off.
I know, because I feel like Tracy and many of your listeners, like, who is this?
No.
And that's okay.
So, well,
I
it's hard for us, because here's one of the things. When I start to describe who it is and I start listing off your credits, then I know that immediately Bateman and Hayes are going to get it really quickly. So I'm trying to do it. So you directed 13 films, some of which are all the Night at the Museum movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you direct Cheaper by the Dozen?
I did.
Yeah.
Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yep.
Free Guy. You did.
One was called The Adam Project.
You also directed Stranger Things.
Stranger Things is the weird. It started with a conversation with you, Jason, because we did a movie called This Is Where I Leave You. And in my experience, when you think you're making the thing that's going to change everything, it ain't the thing that's going to change everything.
Right, so true.
Right? So, like, because I was the family comedy guy, and I'd done, like, Pink Panther and Cheaper by the Dozen and Date Night and Night Museum. And I found this book called This Is Where I Leave You, and I chased it for 5 years, and I got the cast of my dreams. It's Jason with Adam Driver and Jane Fonda and Ben Schwartz and
Tina Fey.
Catherine Hahn and Tina Fey. It was ridiculous. It was like a murderer's row every
Corey
day
Stoll.
In a little house. Corey Stoll. And no one went to their trailer. We stayed in the house and we shot 28 days
that
and it was
so
great.
That's so good.
And then it didn't do very well. And I then had to do a panel. And Jason was the moderator. And I was I was hurting. Because when you fail in this job, it's public and mm-hmm. it hurts. And all of us have felt it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Chase, I don't know if I can kind of like turn it on tonight. And he said, he goes, hey, we made someone's favorite movie. Might be one person's, might be a couple of dozen. But this movie, the people who are seeing it and who it resonates for, they're going to hold on to it. And it was this revolution. You don't even remember this conversation, Jason, but it was, I had lived and died by the sword of box office for so long. Mm-hmm. There was one metric of success. What's your opening weekend? What's your worldwide gross?
Right.
And I made those kinds of movies and I had a good run. But that was the beginning of, wait, maybe there's other measurements of why you do things.
And there's other movies that don't lend themselves to popcorn box office. Yeah. You know?
And there are plenty of movies that you know in the history of the cinema, if I can borrow that term from a bunch of young actors who have no reason or, you know, right to use it.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking break. It's like I hear a guy going, in the cinema, I'm like, you grew up in a fucking trailer in Florida. Shut the fuck up.
Call it
but,
movies.
But there have been a lot of, you know, there are a lot of, I guess my point is this. Sean, if you're ever trying to figure out how to deal with getting kicked in the nuts in show business and how to deal with it, just call me, man, because I've got tons of experience. It's almost all I've had. I always joke that if it wasn't for bad movies, I wouldn't have made any at all. So so if you ever want to make yourself feel better, ever, just fucking call me.
And thank you for that resource.
And you just go, I'm a fucking success. What am I talking about? I just talked to Arnett. What a loser.
Wait, Sean, can I ask? Because
you couldn't tell by his tan, though. The guy looks like a trillion dollars.
You got
Paul Anka type of tan going right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Another great Canadian.
Yeah.
That's deep. But hang on.
We never answered this. So you've made all
but these. Sean, are you going to remember your question or should
yes,
you want to ask?
I'll remember. Right
I was just going to say that at the end of that year, 2014, that happened. I made the Last Night Museum movie, and then Robin Williams, with whom I'd made three movies over 10 years, died. And I was just knocked out. And I said at that point, like, I'm going to say no for a while and see what happens. I'm going to have, because I'd done a movie a year for a decade.
Right.
And in that breath came Arrival.
Yes, one of my favorite movies of all time.
And in that same moment came Stranger Things.
Wow.
And those things changed everything and have changed everything since.
That's right.
I was going to mention, those are the two. I mean, Arrival is one of my favorite movies of all time. I've seen it like 10 times. I mean, have you guys seen it?
Yeah,
so I've seen Arrival. But I want to get back to, Sean, before we get into that, I want to get back to right that moment you were just saying, that moment changed your life. It was a shift of perspective that you had.
Yes.
Right? And once you were able to kind of get out, as you said, stop chasing this thing, stop looking for that, stop looking to measure your own success. We've talked about this based on what you do or how you do in the box office, but more, I'm going to say no because I'm going to find something, because I don't know anymore, right? In a certain way, you just kind of, it's that ability to just let go and surrender to the process and just go, fuck it, I don't know.
And also just to, like, why did you guys start Smartless? Because as near as I can figure, you wanted to see what it was like, right? The pandemic was happening, and who knows if this will be something. I remember texting with Jason early on. No one knew if it would become something. You did it because you wanted to, and it seemed like it would be
fun
and interesting.
Right
and
here, yeah.
The same thing, Stranger Things, no one wanted that show. I wasn't even in the TV business. I'm a movie director, and these boys, these duffers came in with the best script I'd ever read, and I literally brought them into my office, and I said, I don't know what's going to happen, if anyone will watch it, but I definitely want to help you get it made.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this, but, you know, it gave me a lot of my childhood back. Yeah. It was like, that's exactly how I lived.
Hopefully you're the last to say that. I mean, I know you're not the first.
But I would ride my bike to my friend's house. We'd play Dungeons & Dragons.
Sure.
I mean, it was like, so cool.
But so, Sean, it's just another example of how keen your eye is for stuff that is going to be appealing for many, many, many people in addition to the fancy folks. Because the fancy folks love all the commercial movies that you've done, including Stranger Things. But these things all get great reviews, too. So what is it about, we can just take Stranger Things for an example. You said you're not sure if people are going to watch it, but you definitely saw something of value there to push forward and want to champion it. So what was it about that show and your eye in general that can find the populist thing that also is married to kind of the sophisticated thing?
Well, I think the populist thing is, if it has a theme that I think everybody wrestles with,
yeah,
that's when I say yes. So all like right. Stranger Things, yeah, it was about a missing kid in another dimension, a monster, but it's really an anthem to outcasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is about the AV club, the people who don't fit in, who find each other, and their connection is their superpower. Right. That's everybody.
Right.
Every human has felt at points, whether as kids or teens or as adults, like, wait, where is my place in this constellation of people for whom life seems so much fucking easier?
Yeah. Right.
Right. And when I just have a feeling that a lot of people can relate to an idea, to a theme, those are the ones they said yes to. Like, I said no to Free Guy 5 years ago when I read it as a script, but when Ryan read it and called me over and said, look, I'm not a big gamer either, but it's about someone who feels helpless in their world. It's about an actual literal background character living in a world that is shitty and they feel powerless in it and considers that maybe they can do something in it. Mm-hmm. That's the theme of Free Guy. That's why I did Free Guy. No, the gaming stuff helps sell it, but it's not why we made it.
Right,
right,
right, right.
So
right.
I'm always looking for theme, and that's what it was on Stranger Things.
Well, I love that.
Such a great success story.
It changed so much. It came along at the right time.
Where is Stranger Things now? In its second to last season? Question mark?
Yes. Yes. We, in fact, by the time people are listening to this conversation, we will have launched volume 2 of our 4th season. So we launched 7 episodes called volume 1, and we're doing only one more season.
Wait, you're going to do another season after this one?
Yes, we are doing season 5, and that will be the last.
Wow, that's super cool. Wow.
Are you going to get in there and direct any of those?
Always, always. I mean,
season you have.
Correct. Every season I have directed episode 3 and 4, and it's some of it is superstition, but it started off, the idea when we sold it to Netflix was the Duffers wanted to direct all of them, and they were directing the first few episodes, and it became clear that they were never going to finish writing the season. So I basically said, I'll come to Atlanta where we film, and I'll do a couple of episodes, go hibernate with the script. So I came in, and I ended up doing episodes that, you know, the Christmas Lights episode in season one.
Yeah,
and
so cool.
These moments that, I mean, I've never directed horror, but what I love about the job, it's probably what you do too, Jason, which is, okay, what tone does this story want?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's some directors like Wes Anderson or Baz Luhrmann where their stamp is the same on everything they make.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not the kind of director I am. I'm going to change the Free Guy looks different than the Adam Project, right. Looks different than Night at the Museum. So I'm always, and I learn new visual muscles, or I gain more visual muscles on Stranger Things. And ever since then, 2 episodes a season, and that'll be the same thing next year.
That's so cool. So cool.
It's so great. It's that Spielbergian type of cinematic approach that, you know, your stuff has always looked great, but there's a muscularity to the way in which those Duffers established kind of that cinematic heft.
Well, do you know what it is that's interesting? Sean was saying it brought back his, you know, a certain period of his life. Me too. The Duffers were born in 84. Wow. So for me, I'm doing a nostalgia trip, right?
Same,
but their show, what they're doing is the movies of the 80s that they watched on VHS in the 90s.
That's right.
That's the love letter they're doing.
That's right.
I'm doing a love letter to my high school years.
So, right.
Yeah. Right. And it's interesting that we have different access points. And now my stepmom, who's in her mid-70s, loves the show, and so do my daughters. And that's the unicorn thing about Stranger Things is the demographic, the crossovers.
Let me ask something about comedy, because, you know, obviously you're a pro in it. And what do you do when you get somebody on set that you, an actor, is there like a trick you do or some kind of exercise you do when you take a, quote, non-funny person or like somebody who's not known in comedy and try
to... This takes me to my question about Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, why do you keep working with him? He's just a scene killer. You just go into the editing room and you just go, okay, let's rework it.
Yeah, I've had actors who you definitely go in the edit room, you're like, fuck, I gotta save this one. I gotta save it.
Whose strength isn't comedy.
Oh no, I've had it. Like, look, I would love to name
Sean,
names.
By the way, Hayes, that you're putting it really nicely. For some fucking people who are just not funny, and you have to make them funny.
Here's what I've learned, guys. I have learned this repeatedly, and I so want to give you the famous names as examples because they're really famous and they're phenomenal in their own like lane.
Sure.
But here's what I know. You can get a great dramatic performance from a comedic genius of an actor. We've all seen it. We've done it. You cannot make someone unfunny hear the music they are tone deaf. And I've literally, there was an actor on Night at the Museum where I'm like, no, do you hear, like, take the pause, like, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And then that actor would go, ba-ba-ba-ba, nope, listen to me, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And it's literally on Free Guy.
That's what you get.
Jodie Comer had never done comedy.
And
right?
We got the name, guys.
No, it's not Jodie Comer because she ended up being great.
She's
really funny. But here's how. For the first few days, she was like Jane Fonda was on our movie, This Is Where I Leave You, where she's watching the funny swirl around her. And she's like, where do I fucking get my boat in this river?
Right.
Like, it's moving too fast. How do I get my boat in the water? Yeah. And with Jodie, with Jodie Comer, I said, you're like an accent savant. I've seen Killing Eve. You're like, your ear is insane. That's how you think about comedy. It is sound. It is inflection. It is rhythm. Hear the rhythm. Hear the pitch. That's where you'll find the funny. And she's working with Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi and Utkarsh and Bhutkar, who are all such Jedi masters at funny that she used her ear. So sometimes they cannot be saved and I'll cut around them. Or I just won't go to them for comedy. I'll literally go, you're the backboard. Everyone just keep shooting. This is the backboard. Their name is X. They happen to be in a scene with you. But I try
to
find some way.
That's my career.
Wait, funny,
and then cut to Bateman for reaction.
Levy, slow down, because Sean's writing all this down. He's trying to, he needs to funny. So slow down, and you got the last bit, right? And so just listen, Sean.
You just play it back for yourself later, Sean, when it's released.
I love, you know, we always joke around. We talk about it sometimes, not even just in work, just in life. People who aren't necessarily that funny. And by the way, I'm not saying that we are the fucking end all or we're particularly funny.
Extremely funny. You're super funny.
But I will say that, again, there's always somebody funnier. But people who aren't necessarily funny, they come at you sometimes because they think like, oh, you guys rib each other. So they come at you really hard in a really weird way. And I was doing a tennis match once, one of these things at U.S. Open.
Years ago. Like you were playing in the match?
It was like a charity celeb thing to raise money for the U.S. Open. And it was me and Farrell against a couple of guys. And one of the guys, this is a long time ago, so I feel confident, but maybe he'll know. And all he did was just come at Farrell so hard in this way that I kind of looked at Will and I was like, geez. And he's like, yeah, what the fuck, man? Just fucking take your foot off the gas.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Because they had that, their instinct. And I have seen it at work before a couple times too. And it's really awkward. And you're like, man, just cool it.
Just don't. No. Literally, I had this somewhat recently where an actor was like, no, but I'm like, just stop trying. I'm begging you, stop trying. This is not your thing.
But that's youth. I think that's like young. That's how I was probably in that audition with you, or probably in lots of auditions or whatever. You're just so young. You're just like, I got to try really hard. And you don't know
Sean, your attitude is different there. You're actually trying to do something. You're not trying to, you're not doing out of fear.
But you know what else it is, I think, and I talk about this with my daughters a lot. I think that at a certain point, we all want to have an idea of who we want to be, right? But we are each given certain gifts and we are lacking certain skills. And at a certain point in life, you have to look at what you are.
That's right.
And you have to distinguish it from what you want to be.
That's right. That's
because
exactly
no
right.
one ever got to a happy life hitting their head against a wall if it's not dovetailing with the gifts they have. And I do feel maybe
this is like the best therapy.
But it took me a lot of years. Like I remember after Night at the Museum, I wanted to do a dark drama. And I remember Chris Columbus, who was a producer on Night at the Museum, he said, why are you running from the thing that comes easily to you?
Yeah.
Because then it doesn't feel like you're doing anything.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
But it's actually, you know, you've just identified the thing you're natural at. Enjoy.
Yeah.
But you know what's weird too? I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I feel at this age, it's almost like within, you know, I'm 52. It's within the last 2 years.
You don't look it, man.
Thank you.
You don't look it. You don't look it.
But when that tan fades, I'm concerned.
Yeah, then you look 70. Yeah.
You are. Yeah. You are? I woke up this morning. I already felt like a fucking loser. But I think it was quite honestly, it was 50 that made me realize all these things and start to, and all these things, these hangups that I had, or these ideas, or the story that I would tell myself about myself.
Yeah.
I just started to change it.
Yeah.
And I, and the things I was worried about or I cared about, I don't care about anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is one of, I'm 53, and it is definitely like, there's a lot that's shitty about midlife, but there are some things that are really fun. And the two that I found is acceptance, God willing, some fucking acceptance of what and who you are. And the other is I do find, Brian talks about this sometimes when we're on set, because like we'll walk on and I can block that scene and know my shots in about 3 minutes now. Yeah. It did not come that easy and that smoothly a decade ago. And you get a competence at your work. Mm-hmm. As you get into midlife, that is, I'm finding it enjoyable, like really enjoyable.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing. So maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.
And now back to the show.
Your work ethic is just incredible. The amount of work you're able to put out and at a high level. Do you think that's part of it now even more so? That because you're so confident with what you're doing, you're so comfortable with what you're doing that you can take on so much? Because, Sean, your output is just stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, your company is just thriving. I bet you don't feel overwhelmed. I bet you don't feel like you're under servicing anything.
I rarely do. Yeah. I mean, the whole goal, especially once I had that like 2014, 2015 moment where I was like, oh, wait, I can't control outcomes, so I better stop living for it. I better stop living for box office as if I can control it. That was always
just
a living fable.
Living for process, right?
Process.
Yeah.
You cannot, like, you don't know if your movie or show is going to do well.
Right.
You do it because you believe in it, and then you better goddamn well have fun while you're making it.
Yeah, and enjoy the people that you've hired to work with.
Yes, and that's definitely where I've been at the last several years.
Yeah, I've had people look at me funnily because I've sort of said something similar where I said, like, if I'm going to do something, it's going to take me away from my family and my kids, which is obviously that stuff comes into focus of like, of course it's more important than anything else. So if I'm going to do it, it better be fun. And I have had people in a professional setting be like, look at me kind of strangely, like, oh, that's important to you to have fun. It's work. And I'm like, no. We don't get another crack at this. This is it now.
Yeah,
you're in it now. There is no, it's not like, and then I'll do this, and then I'll do the thing, and then I do this. No, it's now. It's now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's now.
For sure.
It's now.
When, what are you waiting for? Yeah, to do that. But Sean, to that point and everything you said earlier about just kind of reaching middle age and kind of figuring out who you are and staying in your lane or kind of veering off just ever so slightly, but still kind of staying in that, on the same road at least. Just looking at what you have coming up, you're like 17 things in production as a producer. Are you one of those personalities that has to have all of these things going, or are you reaching a point in your life where you're like, you know what, I have to find balance? Because that's what I'm kind of talking out loud for myself. Balance about like, yes, to Jason's point, you have this company that's just massive and doing all of these things, but are you afraid of downtime? Because I'm just reaching that point where I'm figuring out that balance.
I used to be. I am not anymore. This long location gig crystallized a lot for me. And I think we're making something special, but that's still 5 months that I missed of my daughter's life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And to your point, I mean, I think you put it so beautifully, like, it's happening right now.
Right.
The thing that you're planning for and goal, you know, goal create, like, it's it. This is happening. And this is all part of it. So, and that's the other, I don't know, Will, I think you have some kids who are maybe teens, and I don't know with the ages, Jace, I think yours are a little young still, but that was a big part of that 2014, 2015 crucible moment where my oldest was in 11th grade, I think. And I was like, wait a second, they're not going to live with me forever? Like, that was a revelation.
Yeah.
I somehow never thought about it with terror and the heartbreak of, oh, these years that we are a family together, they are finite and they end. And that changed things too.
You know, this summer, so I'm out on the East Coast in the summertime, because when I'm not in St. Bart's, I'm in East Hampton. And sorry, you guys should know I'm going for douchebag of the year, so I'm trying to say as much as I can.
I think
at
you
once.
Just locked it. You just
well,
locked it.
I don't know.
No.
But
take your yacht to blow.
But no, actually, you know what? I drive a GMC pickup while I'm out here because I'm also kind of a contrarian.
Well, is it professional grade? Because if it is, that would make
obviously
sense.
Obviously, it's professional grade. Yeah, and it's got the multi-pro tailgate.
Yeah, good for you.
Which was developed by GMC.
Wow,
or professional grade.
Sound just like the guy who does the commercial.
But the point is this: so I'm out here, and my son Archie, who's 13, he said to me, like, last week, he goes, hey, can I borrow your... It's like, I'm going to go work out. And I said, okay, which has become, like, kind of a new thing. And he's like, hey, can I borrow your shoes? And I said, sure. And then he's 13, and he's wearing my size 12 shoes. And I don't know why, that it felt like such a bucket of cold water on my face. I was like, my baby is wearing my size 12 shoes?
Wow.
What? And I just wanted to hug him and like keep him small. Just be like, oh, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. Yeah, it starting at fifth grade, they actually start to be like, I'm kind of good. I want to hang out with my friends this weekend. And like, and then when, of course, when they're 18, they're just gone. And then they come back once or twice a year if they like you for some holiday visits. But other than that, their next stop on the family run is with people they haven't even met yet. And those are going to be their family.
Yeah, that's great. That's
and
intense.
It's just like, I literally just put Franny on the plane this morning for camp in Europe for 5 weeks. Literally, I had to get up.
Well, maybe I can look in on her, because if she's probably close to where I am right now, I can pop over and I can hover if you want.
Yeah. If you're near Amsterdam, get over there.
She had to go to Amsterdam first, too. She kept saying, I need to go to Amsterdam.
Yeah, you gotta fill up the backpack. But I'm trying to train myself to be okay with kissing goodbye and enjoy life. Go ahead, you know.
How was the goodbye, though, Jay, today? Is she excited to go?
Yeah.
She was. She was awesome. She was very brave, very happy, you know, nervous, but on it. She's got coping skills. That's the thing I think is all you can really hope for, is to try to build them that healthy, you know, decision maker on top of their shoulders. And then
with a good dollop of self-esteem.
Yeah.
Because the way that they expect and feel worthy of being treated in the world.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to build.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that, that they go out there and they find relationships that deserve them.
Yeah.
And that they don't settle or think they should settle for less.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jace, I can tell you in your case, you're lucky, because she's got a great head on her shoulders and she's a great kid.
Yeah,
she's going to be okay and you're going to be fine. Yeah. She's an awesome kid. Objectively, she's an awesome kid.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the camp goodbye is just warm up for the eventual college goodbye. That one is brutal.
Yeah.
I've done that twice. It wrecked me.
Even the college tours, going, just driving around and seeing the places where they are going to be going, even 2 years before they go, I'm going to be a disaster.
It's such a cliche. I realize that. But I mean, that college tour is a real kind of watershed memory builder. But the goodbye, because now they don't live with you anymore, and they won't again. Right. They might, but, you know, in some ways you hope they won't.
Right.
But that's, it's just all these kind of, you realize all these moments are, they're not going to be reclaimed, so you better be savoring them now, at work, at home.
Hayes, you're lucky that your dad left when you were young. Because you didn't have to go through, you spared him all this shit. You know?
Now, Sean, do you worry that you're going to gas and run out of steam right at the moment that you're an empty nester, when it's like, it's time to get to work, because you don't have to worry about the kids back at home and being like, I worry about that. I worry about like working super hard while they're still at home and then running out of gas. And now the house is empty, except for me and Amanda.
I mean, if I have 1,000 other terrors, the gas tank feels full every morning, like someone snuck in and refilled it at night.
Yeah,
and I know I feel really lucky about that. And by the way, Sean, the dad backstory is, if anything, it's given Will Arnett comedy gold.
He doesn't miss any of those pitches.
He
hits them all hard.
And it's for like over 100 episodes now.
Yeah, I love it.
So on behalf of all listeners, thank you, Daddy.
When you see the documentary.
Thank you for giving Will Arnett such fodder.
You get to put a face to all those jokes on the
documentary. Oh, no, I don't know if I want the face. Oh, I don't know if I can handle the face.
That's so funny.
Yeah, by the way, anybody can make a joke on any subject, but try making 1,000 jokes on the same subject. Good fucking luck. Bring it. Fucking bring it.
Oh my God. We do a bunch of stuff on food, too, which, Sean, I know you and I have gone round and round on. Although you're naturally beautifully thin and narrow. Just like a little, got a little hummingbird.
I know. Why are you so in shape?
Yeah, you do. You have the body of a Frenchman.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I mean.
Yes, just take
I've heard these things. I'll take it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You
I'll
and Ryan.
It. But no, speaking
what's,
of Ryan,
what's craft service look like on a set with you and Ryan and the caterers? There's a salad bar set up every day, right?
I'm not big on salad, but I do get super bitchy if I don't eat protein every 3 hours. I have learned this about myself.
Uh-huh.
So this is where I go for the douche award. You and me are neck and neck now, Will, because one of the job duties of whoever is my assistant on a movie is you got to get protein in my body every 3 hours or the whole crew is going to pay the price.
Is this plant protein? It's plant protein, isn't it?
No, it's like, you know, the Ryan Hugh diet. It's like the chicken, the boring chicken breast, maybe the sashimi. Yeah. It's like.
Go ahead, Will. I know.
Oh, he doesn't know about. Yeah. On the tour.
Okay.
We don't want to ruin the joke.
No. You will not ruin it. It's got 4 or 5 uses in it.
Guys, I was going to make something else, but I got Japanese food instead. Sashimi.
Sashimi. It's a take
it's
on sashimi.
Not even a joke.
But it's an evergreen. It's so I feel like that one's an evergreen. Like, I feel like I've heard them laugh at that joke on this show before.
Yeah, probably. Have, yeah.
And it's still landing. Joke. It's still landing.
But wait, do you ever eat like crap food? Do you ever like?
I love sugar, and if I start, if I had a bag of caramel corn right now, I would finish it like it's my job.
Yeah.
And so now when I'm in an airport, especially if I'm alone, and I'll get like one of the the mega size M&Ms with peanut butter in it. Yeah. Forget it.
What is your number one? Well, I want to go around the horn because I don't actually know this. What's everybody's number one dessert if you could have only one, like your top of the list? Go.
Dessert.
Ice cream. It's always ice cream.
Hang on. It's not your turn.
Oh, I thought you pointed at me.
What the fuck?
God.
God, not only you can't even wait. You can't wait to get it out and you can't wait to get it in. I mean, Jesus.
I'm partial to a creme brulee. I like a good creme brulee. But again, I'm
with
not
a
like
snappy top.
With I like a little crunch top. Sure. I like to work through the crunchy surface to get to the mushy innards. Yeah,
yep.
That's you like my it when it gets that real methy lighter when they
yes, even better if they top. Do it at the table. So I see someone working.
Sean's still dying from. Can't wait to get it out, and you can't wait to shove it in.
How many times has Scotty said that to you?
Wait, Bateman, go.
Yeah, I don't.
You're not a big dessert guy either. But
I can't even imagine you eating dessert, Jason.
I do. You want to know how douchey and terrible it is? I do like Carbo Light. That's the frozen yogurt with no sugar, no fat, no dairy.
Oh,
I have no idea what it is, but it's cold, it's colorful, and you can eat it with a spoon.
It's so, by the way, that's so fucking lame. One of the first times Jason and I, over 20 years ago, he was like so excited. And he goes, right down on Crescent Heights in Beverly, remember that place in the fucking mall?
Yeah, sure.
And you were like, well, let's go get the fro-yo, go-go, or whatever the fuck you called it. And it was like plastic.
Yeah.
And he's like, isn't this great? And it's nothing, right? And I'm like, no, this is fucking,
no, it's disgusting.
I'm not above admitting I love dessert and I love ice cream like Sean.
Sean Levy, you're in Hungary right now. Tell us, what do you do in your free time there? Tell us like any kind of crazy stories about the.
I wish I had crazy stories. I've definitely fought the blues here a bit. I have to admit, it's a long haul. I've been alone for most of it. I've had so much goulash. And it is as it sounds, right? Yeah. Like that's just kind of that should be an adjective for how it's been for 5 months.
Yeah, you're pretty east there in Hungary.
Yes.
Eastern European is a different look. There's a palette there, literally, that is a little bit grayer. And
you feel the history. You feel centuries of occupation. And I finally realized, wait, I am a happy person. Why am I not happy? I got to go places on the weekend. So I went to Berlin and there I did have a wild weekend. I did exactly what you imagine in your head you would do. And like age inappropriate. I was with my brother. We went to a club till 4:30 a.m. That was the song. Yes, exactly right, Jason.
That's a
and it's weird. The clubs in Berlin, I mean, what I kind of noted, like, there's no aggressive kind of creepy vibe. It's just everyone is actually there to listen to that beat that Jason can do with his mouth freakishly well, by the way, and just dance.
I started as a beatboxer. Yeah.
I love Berlin. I'm with you. I love Berlin. I think it's one of the great cities. It's so much fun.
Yeah,
great restaurants.
How much longer do you have there, Sean?
One day.
Truly?
This is literally one day more, guys. This is why I'm like, I'm flying through this because I have my last day of shooting tomorrow and then we move to France for the final 2 weeks of shooting there in France and then back home.
Where in France? Are you going to be in Paris or are you in the countryside?
No, we're in the country. We're in the town where the novel is set called Saint-Malo, which is right in Brittany on the coast. It's the westernmost coast of France.
Beautiful.
So we're shooting there. It's beautiful. These huge ramparts and the ocean, massive beach. And it's where this actual event happened, where the Germans occupied it and the Americans came over and they bombed the shit out of the town in order to liberate it. And that's kind of the part of the story that we're shooting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sean, we have taken up way too much of your time.
Yes. I love it,
Sean. Thank you so much for delighting
you
us.
You are an absolute
in
delight.
Every way. You've delighted us with your art, like I said, and you've delighted us with your presence here today and your character and your perspective. And you're just a great guy and so happy for you. And you seem so happy, legitimately.
You
really,
we deserve all your success. And
Sean is always a great hang on or off work. More please. Lots more.
Well, I've loved chatting with you guys, and I love your show. I'm such a fan, and hopefully I can tell Sweeney I didn't push too hard and blow the whole thing.
No.
You were great.
You were incredible.
You were
truly.
Thank you for having me, fellas.
Excellent. Thank you.
I miss you, boys. Sean, a bunch, buddy. Hurry home.
I miss you, too. All right. Bye, guys.
Love you, pal.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
That guy, I Sean Levy is just one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Light.
You know, I try to quit him emotionally and spiritually, sure. You know, because he doesn't live here anymore. And
he does. He's literally got 17 projects in development. It's crazy.
I know. And Hayes, you were saying awesome. Like his attitude and his energy is so sort of
infectious.
Yeah. And yeah, it is. It's infectious, and it's so buoyant and upbeat and kind of you know, ready
like I can for imagine action. What that must be like on a set with a personality like that. That's just always supportive. Never, I don't know if that really worked. You know, kind of like attitude. You don't want to be around that.
Let's go again and suck less.
He doesn't ever.
You'll never hear that from him.
Right.
He's happy and capable. Like, that's like a great combo.
It is a great combo. That's a
yeah. I love
combo.
All the stuff in the middle about like all when I was I joked around. I was like, this is the best therapy session because he's and even you, Will, were like, it's now. Now's the time. I love that to just do what you want to do. Like, the only person holding you back is you. That all that kind of stuff. It's one thing to know it. I mean, to hear it, but you have to incorporate it. It's the hardest.
One of the great things that we joked a lot about my dumb vacation, which was, it should be noted, the first vacation since before
COVID. Yeah, I'm
COVID.
Glad you did that for yourself. Yeah. You and Alessandra deserved that.
Yeah, that and, nice. And we, you know, it's been a crazy 2 years, and the baby, and he was born prematurely, and all this stuff, just all the stress, and we kind of let it all go. We were down there.
You guys haven't been just the two of you for,
ever. Since January, since before COVID. And again, I know this, like, oh, poor boohoo. There's a lot of people who are like, I've never fucking been away.
Any couple needs to have just one-on-one time.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. And I will say, one of the great things was we talked a lot about it. And I was like, look, it is fucking now. Life is happening.
Yeah, I love that.
And you got to, like, get out into it and
start. Well, speaking of, I want to go back to the things that you guys said, no more dinners in restaurants. I like to go out to dinner in restaurants still.
Yeah. Yeah, we just did it as a family last night, and Amanda and I said this morning, it's like, let's just say, I literally referenced you, Will. I said to Amanda, I said, let's do what Arnett's family was. It's like, no one in, no one out on Sunday. Like, just any day of the week, it's nice to just commit to just having that bond or just taking a walk.
Yeah, and by the way, Alex Arnett, my mom, will be so happy to hear that Sunday night, nobody in, nobody out, is still
it's
alive.
It's great.
It is great. It's so important to have those moments. And we all have a lot of, look, you guys are my family. You guys are my extended family, too. And but we need those moments with our kids and our significant other where we sit down and we're just kind of quiet with each other.
Yeah.
Super important.
For that, my dad just lived by that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Who were the people he was doing it with?
Yeah. They were folks that didn't mind a long drive.
No one in, no one out.
Did you think he just drove until he ran out of gas or did he have a destination? Like, what was the...
I'm not pumping at the next station. You in the back. What was your name again? You're going to do it. He loved all Hitchhikers.
Right. He sure did. Oh.
But you know what? He was nice to the way he left was nice. He didn't. It wasn't a long like.
Here comes Will.
You know, thing like we'll see you later or anything. Good, it was just a really quick. Bye.
Nice, Sean. Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Rob Armjarv, Bennett Barbaco, and Michael Grant Terry.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity, that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.